Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Sundown this evening, which is probably around this time or close to it, begins Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, which actually means the head of the year. And it's followed by, on the Jewish calendar, 10 days of awe or repentance, and then the Day of Atonement. And this particular sabbatical, New Year is the head of the sabbatical. In other words, every 7 years, the Bible taught in Exodus 23 that every 7 years that you would let the land lie fallow. You wouldn't plant your crops that year. And even debts would be forgiven and so forth. And that's what was supposed to happen every 7 years. And this is one of those 7 years. And really the point of all of that is to learn and enter into and understand the rest of the Lord. And it's not passivity and it's not inactivity. It is the supernatural ability to enter into the abiding presence of the Lord and actually get more accomplished in rest than you would with labor. And this sabbatical year or this rest is really a prophetic picture of Jesus, who said, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so the rest is not about having a day where you don't do anything or a year where you don't plant the crops. It's all a picture. It's a prophetic picture of Jesus Christ, who promises you and I we can have supernatural rest, which we need. And this rest is not a place. This rest is a person. This rest that Jesus is calling us to is something that comes out of Him. It comes out of learning how to abide in Him with such a faith level. This is really a revelation. When Jesus says, "Come unto me," it's a revelation of who God is. I mean, when He's saying, "Come unto me," obviously we know Him, and we who are born from above have His Spirit living in us. But His words, "Come unto me," are implying that we are not in the place yet where we need to live. The place where Jesus is, where this rest abides. And out of this place of rest that Jesus gives us because we come unto Him, out of that, we learn that there are supernatural resources to accomplish things that we could never accomplish on our own. It's called grace. It's called grace. And this is what the Lord, I believe, is wanting you and I to understand. I've been fascinated for the last several years with this particular text of Scripture. And trying to understand rest, I realize I don't understand it at all. You can't understand it. It's revelation. It's something you experience. It's caught, not taught. You don't understand it like a book. You experience it. And this rest is a person. And I believe that Jesus has called every single one of us, I know He has, to this. Because whether you realize it or not, you may not feel it physically or whatever, but you and I become weary. Spiritually weary. Emotionally weary. Physically, yes, too. And heavy laden, carrying burdens that we're not intended to carry. You never see sheep carrying big packages and bundles like camels or things like that, or like donkeys, because they're not burden-bearing animals. And we're called sheep. And we're to come unto Jesus, and we're to learn something that he knows and that he alone can give that we don't have yet. And I, for one, have realized that myself, that I've entered into that rest on occasion, but I don't seem to stay there, or somehow it seems to evaporate from me. And I have to get back to this place on a daily basis. Even now while preaching to you, I have to enter this. I have to experience this and tap into the flow. It's like going deep. And somewhere when you go deep on the inside, in the spirit, you finally tap into a vein, Emmanuel's vein. And out of that Emmanuel's vein, God is with us. The very life of God flows. And you catch the flow of the Spirit to do what the Spirit wants to do. And you flow with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and whatever the Spirit's leading you to do. And it's like, I would imagine it's like entering the jet stream, where a jet knows that at a certain altitude there is a wind like a tunnel called a jet stream, that when they enter in, they can actually power down and not have to use as much fuel because there is a stream of air that's naturally flowing. And when they catch that flow and they go with it, they get a lot more accomplished with a lot less energy. Are you with me? This is the rest of God. Come unto me, all who you are weary. And I believe the Lord will allow us to get to the point we wear ourselves out. When people say the Lord will not put more on you than you can bear, I have to remind them that's not scriptural. Oh no, God will put more on you than you can bear if it will get you to the place where you realize you can't do this in the flesh any longer. You have to find the jet stream. You've got to find Emmanuel's vein. You've got to find the flow of the Spirit. You've got to learn how to live in the Spirit and how to do things by the Spirit, or else we'll just burn ourselves out in the flesh. And Jesus does not intend for that to happen. And so he calls us this. And so when we hear this, we got to realize we're not there yet. I mean, you might be there right now, and if you are, praise God. But I'm moving to that place. I sense that even as I'm talking to you. But when you hit it, it is, you know it. There is supernatural leading to accomplish what God wants to accomplish that you could not do on your own. You'll get done everything that God wants you to do. Now, you may not get done the things that you thought you were supposed to do, but you will accomplish all the things that God wants you to do because he'll give you the fuel and the energy to do it. It's called rest. It's supernatural. You can't understand it. There's no formula. It's coming unto him. And this is an invitation from God Almighty, the Lord of the universe, to you and I. It's an invitation to live this way. This is not some invitation that's a churchy thing that you give at the end of a church service and then you sing an invitation hymn and you invite people to come to know Jesus. And yes, that's important and that's vital and that's part of what we do. But Jesus is talking to his own disciples and telling them, there's a rest that I have that you need, so you need to come unto me to get it. I'm in a place that you're not. You need what I have, so you come unto me. It's an invitation to know him as he really is in a way that we have not yet experienced him. And he teaches us by example. Watch how I do things. You can get more accomplished in my spiritual rest by abiding in my presence, by letting me lead you, than you could if you just did what you thought you should be doing. One particular day after ministry, Jesus says to his disciples, after an incredible day of miraculous things going on, a full day of ministry, and the sun was going down right about now, and Jesus says to his disciples, he says, now let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Let's go over to the other side. Let's go over to the other side. Seven words that they had no idea what they really would mean. And it's recorded in the Bible, not to give us geographical direction, but that too is a call. These words have deeper meaning, I'm trying to say, than on the surface. Seven words that they, these disciples who got in the boat with him and obeyed his word, would soon learn that it's a lot more. Jesus is talking a lot more than just a change of location. And tucked away in these seven words is an odd phrase, or not these seven words, but the next verse of scripture, tucked away in that are some very unusual words that most people just read over. And it goes like this: and leaving the multitude, that's enough right there we could camp on. Because when you come to Jesus and you go with Jesus where he says to go, you're going to notice the multitude's not going to go with you. And leaving the multitude, they took him along with him just as he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. The point I want to make is here, they took him along with him just as he was. That sure seems odd to say that. But this is the Holy Spirit who wrote this scripture. Every word has weight and has meaning. And there's hidden revelation that can be discovered. They took him along with them just as he was. Four words, just as he was. In these four words is even deep, deep meaning. At this point, the disciples are new, pretty new to following Jesus, but yet they have history with him. They've seen him do miracles. They've seen him feed the 5,000. They know that Jesus is not an ordinary man. They have some history with him, experience with him, that the multitudes have not experienced. But there's so much more about Jesus, and there always will be, than you and I have experienced so far. There's more, and there's always more. And so, what do? They do what Jesus said. They get in the boat. We're going to the other side, wherever that is and whatever that looks like and whatever's going to be there. And they obey the Lord. And as soon as they obey the Lord and they get out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, you know, a storm shows up. It's nighttime. They're trying to obey the Lord and get to the other side. And this storm doesn't go away. It's not a passing storm like a Florida storm. It's a storm that grows from bad to worse, even to the point where the seasoned sailors there begin to panic. Water's coming over the bow of the boat. And where's Jesus? He's no help at all. He's sleeping in the back of the boat. I can't imagine, for the life of me, how can Jesus be sleeping in the back of a boat and there's waves coming into the boat? I honestly can't imagine in my mind how anyone could sleep through this. It just doesn't seem normal. And I want to present to you it's not normal. And this storm is not normal. Jesus sleeping in the middle of this storm that's about to capsize this boat. It's not normal. The boat filling up with water is not normal. The wind howling so hard that you can't hear one another. It's not normal, especially after the Lord of glory said, let's go over to the other side. And he's the only one of the whole crew that is able to have rest, what he talked about, what he called them to. And they're panicking. I'm telling you, it's a divine setup. Sometimes God sets us up to show us something that we're missing. And he set them up. This is a divine setup, and Jesus is back in the boat, and he's the only one who, in the middle of a storm, who really believed what he said, because he's the only one who lives in rest in the middle of the storm. Obviously, Jesus has something they did not have. That's why he says, come unto me. All you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you. I'll give you what I have that you don't have. And, oh, you think you do? Well, let's go through a storm and let's see how you act compared to how I act. The storm was a setup. The storm was on purpose. And it may be the thing that you're going through right now, too, is the same type of thing. It may be a divine setup to help you realize you don't have what Jesus has, but he wants you to have it, and he invites you to come and get it. Come unto me. And obviously, what happened was they awoke Jesus out of a panic. He stands up and rebukes the storm and calms the storm with a voice. He speaks to the storm and it stops. It obeys him like a dog obeys its master. Sit down, be still. It does. Now, the revelation out of this is in Mark chapter 4, verse 41. Look at this. And they became very much afraid, and they said to one another, read that part with me, who? Well, you see, I thought they knew him. They had history with him. They've left everything to follow him. I mean, these are not just, Sunday go-to-meeting Christian people. These are people who they've made great sacrifices. They're in full-time ministry now. They have to depend upon him. They're following him with everything that they know. They thought they knew him, and yet this storm comes to reveal you don't know him. That's why he says, come to me. Come. And I'm saying, he says, he's saying that to me. He's saying that to you. There is more to know of him. We haven't scratched the surface. We don't know him like we need to know him. But after the storm, they have a revelation of him that the multitudes do not have. They know he can calm a storm with a voice. He can tell the wind and the waves to lie down and be still, and it obeys. The multitude doesn't know that yet. You had to get in the boat. You had to be willing to risk. You had to be willing to go to this place called the other side without knowing what was going to happen in order to experience that. So the multitudes don't know that. The fact that he invites us to go to the other side is revelation to me that there's a lot more than most people realize who even are faithful disciples. And now this may sound odd, and I don't mean it to sound critical, but there are a lot of people who are comfortable knowing Jesus the way he is right now, and that's about all they want to know. They're comfortable. They know Jesus the way they know him and the way they've always known him, and they're not really interested in knowing him as he is. They're comfortable with the revelation they have. Thank you very much. And they're certainly not interested in getting in a boat at nighttime and traveling to some place that all he says is the other side. No, they ain't interested in that. I'm okay. I'm comfortable right now where I am. And Jesus says that we can know him as he is. And those disciples who got in that boat, they now know him at a level that few know him. And so Jesus says, come unto me, a personal call to focus on Jesus. That's what it is. Focus on me. Look to me. Look into my eyes. Look into my heart. There are things about me you don't know yet. There are things that I have that you need, but you've got to look to me and come to me. It's a personal call. And when we come to him, there can be no agenda of our own. He says, come to me without any promise of what's going to happen next. He doesn't hand out a map and say, well, first we're going to go here and here and here. No. It's a walk of faith. It's a walk of trust that, quite honestly, the multitude's not really interested in that much. That's a little bit too far-fetched. Another time that Jesus said, come, was to Apostle Peter. And it was a storm. It was nighttime. The disciples in the boat again. But Jesus is not in the boat. He's out on the water. And they panic. They see him walking on water. They've never seen Jesus walk on water before. They're getting history with him. They're learning things about him they did not know. And they're out there. And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, let me come on the water." And Jesus says one word. It was a divine setup. They're in a storm in the middle of the night. They don't know what to do. Then they see someone like looks like a ghost, Jesus, walking on the water. It's a divine setup. Again, Jesus says, "Come." And as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, you know, he did what only Jesus could do. He did the supernatural. But he had to keep his eyes on Jesus. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he became like Jesus. And he did what Jesus did. And did what only Jesus can do. He walked on the water supernaturally. "Come unto me" has so much meaning. Come to me. Don't focus on the world. Don't focus on the church. Don't focus on religion. Don't focus on people. Don't focus on these distractions. Come to me. Keep your eyes on me, and you can do what I do. There's so much more for you than what you've experienced so far. Full of mystery, full of intrigue, full of all kinds. Jesus, Jesus, keep your eyes on him. Your eyes on him. And we are becoming like that which we focus on. In fact, that's God's plan. He is constantly putting us in situations that are way over our head. He's allowing storms to come to us that we don't know how to fix or don't know how to get out of. He is constantly letting our boat be so filled that it's about to capsize, so we have no longer any trust in our flesh. We have no resources. We have no solution. And I think God's bringing this church there. He's bringing you there. He's bringing me there. And you can't, that's his plan. And he's determined that we're going to learn to focus on him and get our eyes on him, which it should have been all along. He's going to teach us. And as we get our eyes on him, we become like him. And we keep our focus on him, we do what he does. It's an automatic thing that God has. This is the way God transforms us. Yes, by the renewing of our mind, but also another scripture, 2 Corinthians 3:18, says this is another way that God transforms us. "But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed into the same image." By what we're focused upon, we're being transformed into the same image. Come unto me. Come, Peter. Keep your eyes on me. Focus on me. You become like, and you're being transformed into the very same image. Again, it's not a churchy invitation to say, "Come unto me." It's a radical call to discipleship. To enter something that few people know anything about, even in the church, supernatural rest. And I don't claim to stand up here to say I know it myself. No, you only know by experience. And I've only experienced, if anything, the scratching of the surface, knowing that there's so much more, but knowing that this is the life, a deep life that God calls you and I to. Radical discipleship. So when Jesus says, "Come unto me," you got to, okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to just be entertained by those words, or does he expect some action? You don't hesitate when Jesus says, "Come." You come, you drop your plans, you stop what you're doing, and you come. I think the Lord is showing me, and I may be wrong on this, I think the Lord is showing me, and I'm not speaking about you, I'm just speaking about the body of Christ at large, that the church, the so-called Church of Jesus Christ, is really for the vast majority, is not really interested in radical discipleship. Not really interested in getting in the boat and going to the other side. And no. Nice people, born again people, going to heaven, but pretty much content to just, hey, I just want to make it through the week. I just want to pay my bills. I want to be healthy. You know, I want to achieve my dreams. And if you'll help me do that, Jesus, then we're good. And Jesus said, no, that's not good. Because that's not what I bought and paid for you for. See, I didn't come to help you get your mortgage paid off. I didn't come and give my life so that I could just make you happy. I came to make you holy and righteous by my own blood. And I intend to use your life for my plans and my purposes. And it may not be on your plans or your agenda, but my plans and purposes are for you, or for things I created for you before the foundation of the world. And you got to decide who's the Lord of your life. If I'm going to be the Lord of your life, or you're going to be the Lord of your life. So when he says, come follow me, you got a decision to make. He's talking to the church. Come follow me. Without knowing details, without knowing the future, without knowing where your provision's going to come from. But faith in the one who is called the way, the truth, and the life. Okay. Radical. He becomes your teacher. He becomes your shepherd. He becomes your provider. He becomes your healer. He becomes everything you need, and your focus has got to be on him. On him. You go to him first, and you quickly learn this. And this makes you peculiar even in the eyes of the church who says we're the bride. You're an oddball. You're out there. And you got to remember, not everybody that was with Jesus got in the boat and went to the other side. Not everybody's willing to go that far. So we all need to experience more of Jesus. We need that understanding. There's more. And he has so much more for us than we currently know. And God's goal for us is very clear. It's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And it says this. It says, as he, Jesus, is, so are we in this world. That's what God expects. That's what he calls us to. And that's translated in application in that then we do the things that Jesus does. We lay hands on the sick, they're healed. We cast out devils. We preach the gospel. We do all the things that Jesus does. Because we come to him. And as he is, so are we. In this world, as long as our focus is on him. Now, if our focus is on our own success and our own agenda and our own career goals and all this and that, then no. You will not be like him in this world. You'll look strange. You'll have the label Christian on you, and you may call yourself a Christian. You may be born again, but you're just not like he is. In fact, you'll look at him and think, he's really odd. And the fact is that Christ looks at you and I and thinks we're really odd, that we're not more like him by now than we should be, because we haven't kept our eyes on him. We've had our eyes on some other goals, but not him. And the great thing about Jesus, though, that I love, is that he is so gracious. He's so approachable. He's never condemning. Never condemning, never negative toward us. He's so approachable. After Jesus' baptism, there were two disciples in the book of John, and they were mesmerized by Jesus. And it says they, from a distance, they watched him after he was baptized. They just stood at a distance and they watched him. And he started to go off, left the crowd, and they followed him from a distance. And you know, you can tell when someone's following you. After a while, he turned around and said, What do you want? And they said, we want to know where you live. And he said, come see. Invited them. We don't know where he was staying, if he's staying in somebody's house, if he's sleeping out. We don't know. But he said, come and see. Inviting. Jesus is so inviting. Do you really want to know? Come and see. Do you really want this rest? Come, I'll show you. I'll teach you. You really want to be like me? Come be with me. Where I am, my disciples should be. Come be with me. He's just so inviting. He's not intimidating. He's not saying, well, you go get your act cleaned up and then you come follow. No, come on. Because this is something more caught than taught. It's just being with him. It's being in his presence, and it's keeping your eyes on him. And being, you want to be like him. And then there was another. One of these disciples went and told Nathanael, who was not yet a follower, and they said, after being with Jesus, they came back. He said, Nathanael, we found the Messiah. Oh, really? Yes, his name is Jesus of Nazareth. We found him. Nathanael, so sarcastic. He's, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come on. And what was their answer? Almost parroting the words of Jesus. What did they say? Come and see for yourself. See, it's one of those things you can't force it on people. You got to find out for yourself how good God is. You got to find out for yourself what this rest is. You can't teach it even from a pulpit. You can't teach it in a book. You can't explain it to people. You have to experience Jesus. You have to experience him. Come and see for yourself. But just how serious are you? I'm asking my question to me. Church leaders in this church, just how serious are you? Pastor, just how serious are you? Are you about growing a church and wanting the church to grow in numbers and money? Is that really what you're all about, or is there something better than that? Well, I found out by now I can't grow a church. Mm-hmm. So maybe we just better follow him. Well, I thought we were doing that. Well, let's just get our eyes on him and do what he does and go where he goes. And then we're going to be supernaturally transformed to be like him, see. So you can tell people about Jesus until you're blue in the face. But ultimately, after you've said all you know to say and quoted all the scriptures you know how to quote and witnessed with every technique you know how to witness, the bottom line is that they're just going to have to come and see for themselves. Isn't that what you did? I mean, that's what you have to do. You just got to come and see. So Jesus says those words, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, the question I put at the back of that is this. Do you know this for yourself? If you don't, then this is for you. God set you up to be here tonight, to hear him through my voice, through these scriptures. He's calling you to come to him. Oh, I've come to, I'm not talking about salvation, to come to him in a way you've never done before. It may be going to the other side. It may be scary. It may not be what you're used to. It probably won't be. but he's calling you out of where you are because he has something better for you. And if you don't answer the call, then you're back there with the multitude. You got to know this for yourself. Well, I'm preaching to myself tonight, and I'll let you listen a little bit, so maybe that will do something. Let's just stand to our feet. Just close your eyes and just lift your hands. I'm just going to say those words one more time. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a promise. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.